From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm tender-loving anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. It's great to see you. We're here in San Francisco for the rest of the month, and even though it's only been a week, we, all of us at Wait Wait, have changed. For one thing, we are now all millionaires. I don't know how this happened. Somebody came up, gave us $10 million each. We're supposed to make an app or something. Whatever. Anyway, now that we're all rich, we can afford to eat at the famous restaurant, The French Laundry. It's often called the best restaurant in America. But we couldn't get reservations, so we invited the chef himself, Thomas Keller, to join us here on stage. He'll be here. But we know what you're hungry for, fresh Carl Castle messages. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Jenny calling from Chicago via Denver and Houston.
Wait a minute. You're calling from where, via who, via what?
You have a terrible, terrible phone plan.
I actually live in Denver.
Yes.
I work in Houston, but I'm in Chicago right now.
Is someone chasing you? Well, Jenny, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for the Washington Post is Ms. Roxanne Roberts. Next, it's a humorist and author, most recently of Alphabet Her Juice, The Joy of Text. It's Roy Blunt Jr. Finally, a comedian appearing this weekend at Levity Live in Nyack, New York, in July 24th through the 26th at Dr. Grin's Comedy Club in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Bobcat Goldthwait. Welcome to the show, Jenny. You're going to play Who's Bill this time? Bill Curtis is going to read for you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice in your home voicemail. You ready to go?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote. Bill?
Relax, gringo. I'm here legally.
That was a T-shirt worn by a man this week in response to the crisis where?
The immigration crisis at the border.
Yes, indeed. The latest crisis at the border. The United States is under assault by the most mysterious, nefarious, unstoppable, adorable invasion force ever. Thousands of children. They've come from Central America looking for asylum and these Taco Bell Doritos Locos they've heard so much about. And so some anti-immigration activists have swarmed to the border to intercept them. They've been preparing for this, these guys, these militias, training in that technique where you put your hand on the little kid's forehead and they swing their arms, but they still can't hit you.
Turn your back on them, though, and you got to watch the... Anybody that's that small, I don't trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need any more small people in this country. This is a country of big people. Big, dumb people.
Now, Republicans...
And then I'm just too little. You can't hit me. Oh, I hate that.
Arizona has the law where you can... you're supposed to be able to, a police officer is supposed to be able to legally ask anyone.
Yeah, they show me your papers.
Yeah, if they're a legal resident of the United States, which I support, but I also believe that police officers should have to be a Native American.
Right.
I want an Indian cop asking John McCain how long his family's legally lived in the United States.
Now, this is true. Republicans are accusing President Obama of engineering this crisis of refugee children. Why? Because President Obama is in the pocket of the Go-Gurt lobby. Ooh. Some Republicans accuse him of doing this so the kids will grow up and vote as Democrats. That's why, they say, the kids, are when they arrive at the border stations, are being given food, water, and DVD sets of the complete West Wing. Republicans say they knew this is what Obama was up to when the Democrats suggested changing the voting age to 8. Here is your next quote.
Cleveland natives, it's basically like Jesus just came back.
That's B. Collins writing on Twitter about the return of whom? To
LeBron
Cleveland.
James.
LeBron James, yes. LeBron James. LeBron, the famous basketball player, signed a contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He said he wanted to come back to his boyhood home in Northeast Ohio so his own children can grow up with the same values he learned there. So someday, they too will betray Cleveland in return for millions of dollars. LeBron made the announcement in a letter published by Sports Illustrated. It's actually really quite beautiful and heartfelt. He referred to his 4 years in Miami playing there as, quote, going to college. Now that he's back in Cleveland, he's about to learn what we all learned. Life after college really sucks.
I think it's nice. I believe Art Linkletter was from Cleveland.
There you see.
That's true.
Art Linkletter could not play basketball very well, as I recall. I thought maybe if I just sort of went out in that art. Someday, I would like to guarantee the crowd that before this show is over, I will think of something funny to say about Art Linkletter.
All right.
Well, I'm going to think about either I or Bobcat will.
No, don't throw me under this bus.
You may. Okay, so I'm at my desk. This news hits, and maybe this is just a gender thing, or maybe it's a sports thing, and I like sports, but everything stopped. Nobody talked about anything. No boy talked about anything else for the rest of the afternoon. There was much debate about this. There was whether he was sincere. It was how much money he was getting. Nobody got any work done. It was like Jesus.
It really was.
It was. Sort of an opposite, you know, rapture. He just came down to Cleveland.
Well, what did you want to talk about?
Well, I mean...
Relationships?
I want to talk about cats.
Really, it's such a selfless thing to do to come back to Cleveland. It's like, he's just like Mother Teresa, who famously devoted herself to the poor of Calcutta in exchange for a cot, some gruel, a Mercedes S-Class, and an infinity pool.
But even Mother Teresa did not agree to live in Cleveland.
That's true. Here is your last quote.
A meteorite, the arrival of a UFO, the Earth farted.
Those are a few of the many theories explaining a giant what discovered in Siberia this week.
That giant hole or crater.
The giant hole, yes. Scientists announced the discovery of a giant hole in the ground in a remote part of Siberia. They said it actually appeared 2 years ago, but they've only noticed it now. Not enough time for whatever caused the hole to disappear and for a Starbucks to open down at the bottom. What is it? Who or what made it? It looks exactly like the kind of things monsters call out of monster movies. And we note that 2012, when the crater appeared, was also the first time most of us heard of Robin Thicke. Okay?
I think there should be another. It's not a very scientific term, hole in the ground. You know, I see a lot of people sitting around and say, I think what we have here is a hole in the ground.
Some kind of white lab coat.
Yes. I mean, there must be some kind of Latin. What's the Latin for hole in the ground?
The real question is, what might we find at the bottom of the hole? The answer? The last 300 Siberian guys who said, hey, want to get drunk and go look at the hole? Bill, how did Jenny do on our quiz?
Jenny got 3 and oh, how's that for good?
That's very good, Jenny. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck to you and your life on the run. Take care.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request, we learned this week there's an internal rebellion at the CIA. Many of the agents have risen up and demanded what?
Better food.
Yes, indeed, better food. CIA operatives know 100 different ways to kill a man, and according to recently declassified documents, so does the Friday special breakfast kielbasa. The FOIA request uncovered dozens of complaints from employees about the CIA cafeteria. Here are a few others, and they did complain about the breakfast kielbasa. Here are some more. There aren't enough almonds for the cream of wheat. the so-called jazz salad said it would have grapes in it, yet there were no grapes. And regular Pepsi was coming out of the Diet Pepsi dispenser.
Ooh.
Yeah. These guys are not as tough as we thought. Somewhere there's a secret agent, and he says, I'll never talk, no matter what you do to me, unless you fail to provide grapes for my jazz salad.
How did we learn this?
Freedom of Information Act, which is an important law that allows the public to see otherwise secret documents pertaining to our government.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy who had the hallelujah moment when he found that.
Yeah, I know.
Were there high fives all around? I knew it. I've got the jazz salad formula right here. It was grapes. It was grapes all along. You've had too much of that real Pepsi and not the diet.
No, they were trying to pass off cherry tomatoes as grapes.
Ooh. That would,
were they really?
It was a covert operation.
Wow.
So you're telling me the cherry tomatoes had like cover identities as grapes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as the American embassy were concerned, they were just grapes.
Yeah.
Grapes.
You're not a grape. Yeah, I am. No, you're a tomato. No, I'm a grape. I don't know. I think the CIA should have been more concerned that the produce was talking.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we're playing this week with Bobcat Goldthwait, Roy Blunt Jr., and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. It's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Derek Ryder in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Stillwater, Oklahoma. Are the waters still there? I assume they are. What do you do there?
I'm a groundwater geologist. I do groundwater studies.
I guess you should have saw it coming.
Yeah. So you do groundwater studies in Stillwater.
Yeah.
I assume you're like, yep, still pretty still. Ooh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just like, yep, still water. Derek, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Derek's topic?
Why, I guess you're not such a total loser after all.
Are you hated? Shunned, treated like a leper without the benefit of the special leper discount down at the Denny's? Well, we've got encouraging news for you. It's possible to be redeemed. Each of our three panelists are going to tell you a story about how somebody with a terrible reputation found redemption in an unlikely way. But of course, two of the people you're going to hear about are just as hated as they always were. Pick the true story of a change in image and you'll win our prize, scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle's voicemail. Wherever you want to put it, I suggest your voicemail. Ready to play?
Yep.
First, let's hear from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Jimmy Buffett channeled his fears about going to the doctor for a routine colonoscopy into a hit song. The ballad is entitled Uncharted Canals. It's the story of his nervousness about having a colonoscopy performed. The song takes a twist when it's a female doctor and they fall in love. Like everything he touches, Uncharted Canals has become a huge hit with his fans. But Uncharted Canals is more than just a whimsical song to many Buffett devotees. It turns out the song is a bit of a wake-up call. Tens of thousands of parrot heads have run out and followed suit by getting their own colonoscopy exams. Jimmy Buffett will be responsible for saving many lives, claims Dr. Alfred Troyer of the Houston Medical Center. Buffett, the leader of the Coral Reefer Band, said, "It's really nice to think that maybe I'll be remembered for saving lives and not just for being the guy who wrote Margaritaville." Buffett declined to mention if the doctors were looking for his lost shaker of salt.
Jimmy Buffett. Striking a chord for colonoscopies. Your next story of someone's image getting polished comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Before Justin Bieber got that DUI in Miami, before he egged his neighbor or peed in public or lost his shirt yet again, well, there was that halo of blonde hair, which could forgive all the stupid things he's ever done. We speak, of course, not of the gelled duckbill that Biebs currently sports, but his original bull haircut and bangs, which doctors say have the power to prevent skin cancer. In an editorial in the July issue of the Journal of the American Association of Pediatrics, Crystal Agee and Bernard Cohen argue that boys who wear Biebs bangs develop fewer freckles or skin cancer. Quote, "For the past few years, we have embraced his hairstyle in our teenage patient population to encourage discussion of sun protective measures," they write. "My favorite part, the doctors have named their medical brainchild the new Big Bang Theory."
Justin Bieber's haircut saves lives by shading young foreheads from the sun. Your last story of a reputation restored comes from Roy Blunt Jr.
A Dance to Summer, starring Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod in a tunic and toe shoes. What was that? An envious attempt to upstage this week's apotheosis of Derek Jeter? When it comes to Jeter's black sheep teammate, A-Rod, it's always hard to say just what he was thinking. Certainly, A-Rod's venture this week into interpretive dance hardly registered news-wise against the adulation of Jeter in his final All-Star game. And yet, A-Rod may have made the more promising career move, for A-Rod's dancing got rave reviews. He may be sitting out a year-long suspension for conduct detrimental to baseball, but Tuesday night at the Yerba Buena Performance Center in San Francisco, a whole new A-Rod leapt to light. Critics praised his natural grace, his bodily awareness, his athleticism transcending sport and dance. Also, just saying, dancers don't have to undergo periodic drug testing.
Here are the stories. One of these people did wonders for their own reputation, willing or not. Was it from Bobcat Goldthwait, Jimmy Buffett, doing what he can to get his fans, parrotheads, to get colonoscopies by writing a song about his own? From Roxanne Roberts, Justin Bieber, possibly saving lives, young lives, from skin cancer by wearing a haircut that shields the forehead from the sun? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez becoming an interpretive dancer and showing a more sensitive side? Which of these is the real story that we found in the week's news?
I think it might be the Bieber one.
It might be the Bieber one? All right. Audience likes it. Okay, your choice is Roxanne's story about Justin Bieber and his haircut. Well, to find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone involved in the real story.
This may be the one saving grace for Justin Bieber. If there's one good thing he can always be remembered for, it's definitely his hairstyle.
That was Dr. Crystal Agee from Johns Hopkins University Hospital, the woman who wrote about the life-saving, potentially effects of Justin Bieber's haircut. Congratulations, Derek. You got it right. You earned a point for Roxanne, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine, voicemail, whatever you like. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
All right.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we like to ask people who do amazing things to try their hand at something rather mundane. 20 years ago exactly, Chef Thomas Keller bought a little restaurant in Napa, California called the French Laundry and transformed it into the finest restaurant in the country. He's inspired countless other chefs. He consulted on the film Ratatouille. He opened other award-winning restaurants and convinced people to pay $100 for a corn pudding appetizer.
Ooh.
Thomas Keller, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Good to be here, thank you.
But wait.
We have something for you. But there you go.
Wow.
So, oh, man.
Now,
for the folks at home, the entire audience is getting food.
Yeah. So... While the other guys
started out
with one loaf and one fish, and look at this.
Yeah.
While
we're getting everything handed out to the panelists, what do we have here?
You are holding the coronet of Atlantic salmon with creme fraiche and sweet red onions inside.
Right. Mm. And so
basically what it is,
yes,
for all intents and purposes, it's a cracker with sour cream and salmon.
Right. And I should say,
there you go.
What this looks like is a tiny little ice cream cone.
Can I get Jimmy's on this?
Yeah.
What?
It's awfully good.
It's okay?
Oh, my God.
Does it taste like what I just described?
Yeah.
A cracker with sour cream and salmon, right?
And salmon. It's delightful.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, like, they're really tiny.
Okay, but this is actually a great way. Thank you, by the way, for bringing
out
this
delicious
food.
Oh, you're welcome. A little refreshment. You guys needed something.
We did.
You were starting to die down a little bit.
I know. It's getting a little... You're flagging. I'm sure with food, with a morsel of food that big, we can go another 4 or 5 minutes. I have a couple questions for you. First of all, is that something you serve at your restaurant?
We serve it to every guest that comes to our restaurant, yes.
Really?
We have served it to every guest that comes to the restaurant for the past 20 years.
Ooh. Really?
Yes. And if you add per se to that, that's 11 years. So that's 31 years of serving the Coronet.
Per se is your award-winning restaurant in New York?
In New York, correct.
Right. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to, because this is actually wonderful, even though the audience couldn't see or...
I'm sorry.
I pity them, taste it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is this, would you say, typical of your approach to food? It is basically a little ice cream cone made of salmon, cream, cracker. You even made little chive jimmies. And this is all to make a tiny little bite of food. And we're not even to the stuff you charge people for.
But it's one of the most important parts of the meal.
Why?
And why?
Why?
I knew you were going to ask why. Because it's a way of opening up. Somebody comes in the restaurant. They're in the French Laundry or they're at Per Se. And, you know, and sometimes those kind of restaurants can be a little intimidating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to kind of break the ice.
Right.
And what better way to break the ice than give them something that looks like an ice cream cone?
Yeah.
If you don't smile at that, then you have no sense of humor whatsoever, right? And so not only does it make them smile, right, breaks down that intimidation, but then they eat it. And because it has reference points, because it tastes like something they've had before, a cracker with sour cream and salmon, they like it.
I want to back up a little bit. So you bought this restaurant. It was an pre-existing restaurant, the French Laundry.
Correct.
In Napa, California, about 20 years ago.
That's right.
And at that time, I'm sure it was more of a traditional restaurant. You ordered some food. The food came. You ate it. You left. But you brought this approach to food where it's more of a theatrical production. You go in and, if I understand correctly, you pay a lot of money, but it's fixed what it is. And you just bring out a succession of dishes.
Correct.
And each of them are like that. They're sort of brilliant little composed, extraordinary sculptural things.
We try to base our food on the law of diminishing return, right?
Okay.
The more you have of something, the less you like it. So we want to give you just enough that when you've had that last bite, you go, God, I wish I had a little more.
Mm,
And then you say, no, you can't have any more. You go, right? And then we bring out the next dish, because at that moment when you've had that last bite and you say you want a little more, mm-hmm. that's the moment when it's been a perfect experience with that food.
Right.
Right? Mm. And then the next dish comes out and we hope to achieve the same thing. So by the time you've gone through these 10, 11, 12, or 13 courses, of course your appetite has been satisfied. You've had a great experience over a three and a half hour period, depending on how many people you're with. So the one thing I always recommend is come to the French Laundry or Per Se with somebody you like. Because
yeah.
if you come with somebody you don't like, you're going to be in big trouble.
Because right. you're spending a lot of time with them.
Right,
so aren't you inviting people to spend hundreds of dollars to come in, spend hours getting just tiny bites of things that leave them just wanting a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And you work so hard at this, aren't you approaching your ideal of getting people to come spend all day, give you thousands of dollars, and get nothing? And leave happy.
You said that people are sometimes intimidated when they come. What was the most intimidated that you've ever been in serving someone?
You know, I think we got a little nervous when Julia Child walked in, and she walked in the back door and into the kitchen and walked over to the chef de partie on the meat and wanted to know what he was doing, and she kind of cruised around the kitchen. But after you get to know them, and you know, they just want to have good food.
Did you eventually get locks for that back door?
Why do you call it the French Laundry?
I didn't call it the French Laundry. I bought the restaurant. It was opened in 1977, and it was called the building was called the French Laundry because actually there was a French Laundry there at one time in its history, and so it just stayed.
Right.
So wait, the French were washing their clothes?
Well, you know.
I once heard an interview with Steven Spielberg where he said whenever he sees somebody else's movie, he has to sit there with a stone face because if he grimaces or looks bored, everybody will be talking about, oh my God, Steven Spielberg doesn't like it.
Sure.
Have you ever been in a restaurant or at a friend's house for a meal and it's been awful and you say to yourself, I cannot say a word, I cannot indicate anything, I have to clean my plate because otherwise people will talk about how Thomas Keller didn't like it?
Yes.
And what do you...
But not in somebody's home. Not in somebody's home. Not, you know, not, because most people always typically cook something that they're comfortable with.
Right.
You know? And if they're comfortable with it, they usually do a good job. Mm. When you go out to dinner sometimes to some young chefs, right. You know, and they want to impress you, right? I mean, you're Thomas Keller, or they're coming to the restaurant. They want to make sure that they, you know, pull out all the stops. And sometimes it can be a little bit problematic. You know, sometimes the portions are a little bit too big, and, you know, you've had 20 of them, and it's like... You know, okay.
Have you ever, like, put food in your napkin and hit it? Have you ever, like, put your head back and tried to swallow like a bird getting down a big bug?
No, it's never been quite that bad.
Okay.
Never been quite that
bad. Glad to hear.
Yes.
And we're free Thursday if you want to come over. Thomas Keller, we are delighted you're here, not just because you brought us food, but Thomas Keller, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Light starch on hangers, please, and I'll need it Wednesday.
You've done pretty well running this business called the French Laundry, but how many clothes have you cleaned? That's what we figured. Very few. So, we're going to ask you three questions about actual laundries. Get two correct, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home voicemail. Bill, who is Chef Keller playing for?
Amanda Peck of San Francisco, California.
You ready to play, Chef?
I'm ready.
All right. Here's your first question. Sometimes it's a good idea to not launder your clothes. Do not launder your clothes so you can make use of which of these? A, the brief safe, a place to store your cash and valuables that looks like a pair of dirty underwear so no burglar would ever touch it. B, the CIA headquarters new entry system identifies you by swabbing your shirt for your unique BO or stink print. Or C, you want to wear a Banana Republic's new American Oxford. It comes pre-stained with barbecue sauce, so you can't ruin it. One of these exists.
I would say A.
You're going to go A, the brief safe?
The brief safe.
You are correct. You buy this thing. We looked at a picture of this on the internet. It is fail-safe. Nobody will ever touch this if it's sitting on your floor. That's very good. Laundromats can be exciting places. Which of these is a real headline from the Montana Standard back in 2005? A, Klan leader fails to separate, announces pink robes are in this year. B, leprechaun robs Front Street Laundry. C, man trapped in laundry machine says, quote, it wasn't bad until the spin cycle.
So you have the spin cycle, you have the leprechaun, and you have the Klan member.
Right. It was an actual headline in the Montana Standard
A.
from Butte. You're going to go for A, Klan leader?
Yeah.
No, it was actually leprechaun. This is on St. Patrick's Day. The robber was wearing a fake black beard, mustache, black plastic derby hat, and green kilt, said the clerk in Butte, Montana. Butte gets pretty crazy on St. Patrick's Day. All right. We have three courses. We've had two.
Okay.
You have one to go if you get this one right. Win our prize. Some people really, really, really care about their laundry, as in which of these cases? A, at the end of each week of filming, the cast of the film Captain America all washed their own costumes on star Chris Evans' washboard abs. B, Lady Gaga created her own mesquite seven-spice detergent formula for washing her meat dress. Or C, First Lady Bess Truman insisted on mailing her clothes back to Kansas City from Washington for washing.
Mm-hmm. I would say C.
You do it for C, best
truth? I for C. Yeah.
This is true. Bill, how did Thomas Keller do on our quiz?
He got 2 out of 3. That's a winner in my book.
Thomas Keller is a chef restaurateur, the author of many cookbooks. You can eat his food at the French Laundry near San Francisco and Per Se in New York, or also in Las Vegas, but good luck getting a reservation. Mm-hmm. Thomas Keller, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure to talk to you, Chef. Chef Keller, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I am here to say to you that I love my bread and my meat. Take a look at me and you can plainly see that I'm a man who loves to eat.
From
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Bobcat Goldthwaite, and Roy Blunt, Jr. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill checks the rhyme in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Bobcat, idealistic British dating service Love Flutter has organized a series of speed dating events where singles meet each other while doing what?
Macrame?
No.
Spelunking?
No. You know, sometimes you break the ice on one of these things by asking a question. Maybe what sign are you classically? Where are you born? What do you do? The question they tend to ask is paper or plastic.
Oh, they're bagging groceries?
No, they're not bagging groceries.
They're shopping?
No.
Where else do you say paper or plastic outside?
What they're doing is they're trying to get past superficial issues like what they look like.
It's coming to me.
I think I confuse you by saying they're doing something. They are doing something, but it's more like they're wearing something.
Burkas?
No. Remember I said paper or plastic?
They're wearing bags.
On their heads.
On their heads.
That's what they're doing. The idea is that singles will get to know each other in a real way rather than getting hung up on superficial things like beauty or whether someone has eyes.
Technically, shouldn't one person wear the bag? They both don't need to.
That's a very good point.
These people are just idiots.
Yeah.
Someone was taking their wallets.
It's a great idea. The idea is you get to know each other as people but without being distracted by their appearance. You get to know them quickly. Normally, you don't find out someone is crazy until they already have a key to your apartment. So this is good.
You're getting to know each other as people, yes.
Yeah.
But you're also getting to know each other as the kind of people who will wear bags.
You have to be wary of going to a dating event where everybody has made the calculation, this will work out better if I have a bag over my head. Roy, summer is the time for shark attacks and horror movies. But now there's something really scary out there for kids. What is it? Just say nouns and we'll...
Other kids.
No. I should give you a hint. It's as bad as Brussels sprouts and kale combined.
Oh, it's some kind of monster vegetable.
It is. It is specifically...
Broccoli man.
No. Remember I said it's just as bad as Brussels sprouts and kale combined?
Brussels quail.
It is, in fact, Brussels kale. Yes.
Really?
Even though no one asked for it, a British company has come up with a way to combine kale and Brussels sprouts. They call it Brussels kale. Now, instead of refusing to eat two vegetables, kids only have to refuse to eat one.
Mm.
And already parents are using it as a threat. Finish your Brussels kale or you can't have any cake brownie.
Is it a plant they made, or are they just shoving these two things together?
No, they actually did this the old-fashioned way, as opposed to the genetic engineering. They just bred two plants together.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard of broccolini, this is Brussels kale.
The children are going to ask, how do they do this? And you're gonna say, when you're a little older, we'll explain. The two vegetables love each other very much.
Mrs. Sprout.
The mommy sprout puts a bag over her head.
Bobcat, a scientific study released this week finds that what may actually prevent cancer?
Smoking.
No.
Well, I mean, you eventually stop.
That's true. I'll give you a hint. It's not silent but deadly. Silent but healthy.
Oh, really? Letting them fly?
No. Even worse.
Is discharging?
No.
No.
You're
not doing
about,
it?
No, you're thinking about giving. I'm talking about receiving.
Wow.
Oh. No.
This show is so meta right now.
I'm afraid of where you'll go unless I just give it to you. So I'll say,
whoa.
The thing that may, in fact, prevent cancer is smelling farts. Good news, riding in a taxi could save your life. Scientists at the University of Exeter, who studied 500 of the unluckiest volunteers in the history of science, found that hydrogen sulfide, which is a gas found in human flatulence, may have a role in preventing strokes, arthritis, cancer, and anyone ever wanting to take a road trip with you.
So the next time I do that, I go, I'm trying to save your life.
Exactly. It comes down to the quality of life, though. If that's the best way to extend your life, would you really want to live that long?
I think this is going to make men feel better about themselves.
I think, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is it all right if you sort of auto-treat, if you see what I mean?
Sure.
I think I do see what you mean.
Yeah.
You would prefer that. You don't want...
Yeah.
Doctor, get that burrito and get in here now. ASAP. We're losing them. This is a little unorthodox, but I'm saving your father's life.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Seattle on September 18th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything. This week we tell you how to get through a long interview with David Sedaris when you desperately need to go to the bathroom. Because how often does that happen? Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Carla.
Hey, Carla, where are you calling from?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome. Charlotte is a great place.
Woo! I just heard somebody yell.
In your house? Get out.
Carla, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
You women like cheese with some frill, and low fat just gives you a thrill. Now you won't have to snack on Monterey Jack. For ladies, there's Monterey.
Rhymes with thrill, or frill, often comes paired with Jack.
Jill,
yes,
wow.
Monterey Jill. You've heard of Monterey Jack cheese, right? Now there's Monterey Jill cheese. Hmm. That's what Lucerne, the dairy company, calls their cheese for women, Monterey Jill. Anyway, their lady cheese contains less fat, and it comes in a lavender package. The fact that there's lady cheese now means there also must be man cheese, which is the grossest word we could ever think of. Here is your next limerick.
Sample test. What's her favorite meat entree? How long was she Jay-Z's fiance? Now multiple choice. How great is her voice? I'm acing my class on...
Beyonce!
Yes, oh! Beyonce! Oh! There's a new offering in the Women's Studies Department at the University of Victoria in Canada, Beyonce 101. Great news for Beyonce fans and philosophy majors who finally have people they are more employable than. According to the professor, the class will, quote, explore how we can situate popular music as a cultural construct, yada, yada. There is one prerequisite. You must be ready for this jelly. All right, here's your last limerick.
Down the aisle with my bride I am heading, but a large scale to-do I am dreading. There's no three-tiered cake, just fries and a shake. McDonald's is hosting our...
wedding.
Right, yes. Wedding. McDonald's in Hong Kong has become the wedding venue of choice for young couples. So they have, you know, who have many happy memories of becoming obese together there. There's the deluxe package, which offers balloons, decorations, and the vows officiated by the Justice of the McCheese. McDonald's is also covering medical expenses for when the bride and groom fail to read the instructions on the wedding hot apple pie. Bill, how did Carla do in our quiz?
3-0 for Carla.
There you are. Well done. Congratulations, Carla. Thanks for playing. to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Bobcat has 1. Roxanne and Roy are tied with 3.
So it's Bobcat.
Are you sure? I don't even remember getting 1.
Bobcat, you're in 3rd place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Florida became the most recent state to overturn its blank ban.
No shirt, no service.
No, you can do that in Florida. Gay marriage. The GOP successfully blocked a Democratic bill that aimed to nullify the Supreme Court's blank decision.
That corporations are now religious organizations.
Yes, the Hobby Lobby decision, yes. Golfer blank blamed his mistakes in the first round of the British Open on people's cell phones.
Tiger Woods.
Right, a marathon runner in Colorado finished in 3rd place despite blanking during the race.
Going to the bathroom?
No, despite being struck by lightning. Ooh. Retiring Yankee Derek Jeter received a 3-minute standing ovation at this week's blank game.
All-Star game?
Yes. Best known for her Tony-winning one-woman shows and her role on 30 Rock, actress blank passed away at 89.
Elaine Stritch.
Right. A man in Britain was caught at a nightclub when his blank caught on fire.
Toupee?
No, when his cologne ignited. Ooh. The heavily perfumed man was just hanging out, getting his drink on, when his friend jokingly flicked a lighter at him. Ooh. He went up like a Molotov cocktail made of gasoline and bay rum. He's actually just fine. He's got a few minor burns, and his lady friends now say he now smells alluringly of musk, cedar, and Bactine. Bill, how did Bobcat do on our show?
Bobcat got 4 right for 8 more points, so he now has 9 and the lead.
Well done. All right. We flipped a coin. Roy is elected to go next. Fill in the blank, Roy. Bashar al-Assad was once again sworn in as the president of blank on Wednesday.
Syria.
Right. On Wednesday, the U.S. announced sanctions against Rosneft, blank's national oil company.
Russia's.
Right. 10 people in the Philippines remain missing after the country was struck by a blank.
Typhoon.
Right. This week, software giant blank announced it would be laying off up to 18,000 employees.
Microsoft.
Right. The mayor of the British town of Gosport announced he was resigning after he and his wife blanked.
Had such a wonderful time, they decided to... called it quits.
Got banned from every pub in the village.
Oh.
A survey from the National Institute of Health found that 2.3% of Americans identify as blank.
Gay.
Right. Apple has agreed to a $450 million settlement after colluding to fix the prices of blank.
Books.
Right, e-books. A Missouri man suspected of robbing a costume shop was arrested at a bar nearby when he was found blanking.
Wearing a brownie costume.
Oh, so close. Wearing a giant yellow bird costume.
Oh.
After robbing the costume shop, the man who refused to give his name to the police arrived at a bar nearby wearing a giant yellow bird costume with matching cape. The bar's owners called the police, who arrived at the scene and after a brief altercation arrested the man. He insists it was a misunderstanding and that he was set up by his friend, Mr. Snuffleupagus, that no one else can see. Bill, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Well, Roy got 6 right for 12 more points, giving him 15 and the lead.
All right. Roxanne. How many does Roxanne need to win?
Well, she needs 6 to tie first and 7 to win.
All right. This is for the game, Roxanne. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, insurgents armed with rocket-propelled grenades attacked an airport in blank.
In Gaza?
No, in Afghanistan. This week, Time Warner reportedly rejected an $80 million takeover offer from blank.
Rupert Murdoch.
Right. The CEO of automaker blank was called again before the Senate this week to answer questions about the company's faulty ignition switches.
GM.
Right. A man in Minnesota was especially dismayed to find he had locked his keys in his car after he had just blanked.
Car blank. After he had just started it.
After he had just robbed a bank. On Tuesday, the company's SpaceX was granted permission by the FAA to build the nation's first privately owned blank.
A space station?
Close enough, spaceport. Okay. Marvel Comics had announced that the newest iteration of their character, Thor, would be blank.
A female.
Yes, a shoplifter in Kentucky is facing additional charges after he used his one phone call to blank.
Order pizza.
Yes, he did. Five of them delivered to the station. Police arrested Michael Harp on shoplifting charges and obliged when he asked to use his one phone call. Less than 30 minutes later, a delivery driver appeared at the station with five pizzas he said were ordered by Officer Wilson. Bill, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
No. But she did get five right for 10 more points. So with 13 points, that means Roy is this week's champion
there
with 15.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict the next place scientists are going to discover an enormous hole. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors and online marketplace and concierge support for home improvement services, angieslist.com. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide at fordfoundation.org, and eSurance with a smartphone app that lets customers take care of their car insurance on the go. eSurance, welcome to the modern world, eSurance.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Seth Francisco Kelly. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Thanks to Kai Shane and everyone of Alternative Apparel in San Francisco. Special thanks to Sydney Goldstein and the staff and crew at the Norse Theater. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Evie Walsh over Miles Dornboss. Technical directors from Lorna White. Our CFO and resident grown-up is Ann Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, where will the next giant hole show up? Bobcat Goldthwait.
I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room here. There's a lot of sexual tension between Roxanne and myself. And it's the hole in my heart this woman's going to leave.
Roxanne Roberts.
Arizona, where the locals affectionately call it the Border Tots Daycare Center.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
And if you hear any of those things happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks, those are Bobcat Goldthwait, Roxanne Roberts, Robert Jr. Thanks to Melissa Ferrara at the Fairmont Hotel. Thanks to our wonderful audience at the Norse Theater in San Francisco. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you back here next week, San Francisco. Be there. NPR.